Our text for today is written in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. On one hand, there were priests in greater number because they were prevented from continuing in office by death. But by contrast, because he remains forever, he has the permanent priesthood. For this reason, he is able to save for all time the ones who approach God through him, since he is always living to plead on their behalf. For it was right that there should be for us such a high priest, holy, innocent, pure, separated from sinners and made higher than the heavens, who does not have a daily need, like the high priests, to offer up sacrifices for his own sins first and then for all the people, since he did this once for all, having offered himself up. For the Torah appoints men having a limitation as high priests, but the word of the oath, which was after the Torah, appointed a son made perfect forever. My dear Christian friends, perhaps you have noticed the peculiar way that our Western culture adores numbers. Mark Twain certainly noticed it, and his recognition is reflected in that quotation of the aphorism that is often but wrongly attributed to him. There are three kinds of lies: lies, damned lies, and statistics. In this case, as in so many others, the humor makes the point. If you give someone a number, they will be more inclined to believe you. So if you ask me if it will rain tomorrow, and I say, there's a slight chance of rain, you're likely to feel uncertain about whether you should carry an umbrella. But if I tell you the National Weather Service says there's only a 14.78% chance of rain tomorrow, then you'll probably feel comfortable leaving your umbrella at home. It's almost as if we ascribe to numbers a mystical quality that communicates that most elusive of commodities, the truth. So when I read in our text for today about the greater number of priests in the Old Testament, I couldn't help but wonder just exactly how many priests there were before Jesus. Okay, I know it seems like an impossible question to answer, but that hardly ever stops anybody from asking. So I looked through the Bible. In Numbers chapter 3, God instructed Moses to conduct a census of the Levites. And we learned that the number of Levite men over the age of 2 months, or excuse me, 1 month old, was 22,000. Of these, only those between the ages of 30 and 50 were allowed to serve in the tabernacle. And there were at the time of Moses 8,580 of them. First Chronicles gives us a little more information, that there were 4,600 Levites who answered David's call to fight in the army against Saul. But these were only a small portion of the total number of Levites at that time, because 1 Chronicles 23 tells us that the total number of Levite males over the age of 30 at the time of David was 38,000. As you might expect, the division of the kingdom and the establishment of the worship of other gods in Israel led to a decline in the number of priests. By the time of Hezekiah's reform in the late 8th century, we are told that there were not even enough Levites to carry out the sacrifice of 70 bulls and 100 rams and 200 lambs, so that other priests had to be appointed. The numbers were even more depleted after the exile. Ezra records that there were only 74 Levites, together with an additional 128 singers, 139 gatekeepers, and 392 other temple servants. Later, Ezra himself led another group from Mesopotamia, among whom there were an additional 18 Levites and 240 others capable of serving in various capacities. Still later, at the time of Nehemiah, it is recorded that there were 284 Levites living in Jerusalem. Well, with all this data in hand, I contacted an archaeologist of my acquaintance who specializes in population studies. He provided me with a couple of different formulae that are used to estimate population growth and change over time. And I took all this and put it into a spreadsheet, and then I set up the formulas that he had given me, and well, I ran into a problem because there's no real data for the time between 400 BC and the time of Jesus. So I used a figure based on the average percentage, an average percentage of the total population. Putting all this together, I was able to produce for the first time the best available scientific estimate of the total number of Levitical priests between the time of Moses and the time of Christ. And the answer? One. Just one. You see, all the tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of Levites and other priests who lived in the 1400 years between the time of Moses and the time of Jesus, all of them participated in the one priesthood that foreshadowed the one priest who was to come. And all of the hundreds of thousands or millions of sheep and goats and bulls and doves that were sacrificed on the altars in the wilderness and at Shiloh and in the temples in Jerusalem built by Solomon and Zerubbabel and Herod, all of those sacrifices foreshadowed the one sacrifice that God himself made when he sacrificed his own son on that cruciform altar to pay for your sins. One priest, one sacrifice. That's all it took to forgive the sins of the whole world, past, present, future. You see, we refer to the priesthood of the Old Testament as a Levitical priesthood because they were all descended from Levi. But the point that the author of the book of Hebrews makes is that the priesthood of the Old Testament was a Jesus priesthood. Its ministry was a Jesus ministry. Its sacrifices were a Jesus sacrifice because they foreshadowed and pointed the way to the one true priest whose priesthood fulfilled their own and whose sacrifice was the perfect sacrifice on the cross. Well, times have changed. Since 1839 AD, more than 12,000 pastors have gone forth into the world from this place. And of those 12,000, they have all been, in a sense, a continuation of the one Jesus priesthood. For it is given to them, to us, to you, to take to the ends of the earth the message of today's text, that Jesus is able to save forever those who approach God through him. And if those 12,000 pastors preach an average of 50 sermons a year for 20 years, and we add to those 12 million sermons the 200,000 or so that will be reached by the people sitting in this room today, all of that preaching adds up to just one sermon. Now, we all love variety. And we live in a culture characterized by its attention deficit disorder. But however we dress it up, however we say it, whatever we serve alongside as a side dish next to that main course, if we are faithful to our calling, into the same Jesus priesthood, then everything that we have to say adds up to just one message. Jesus died for your sins and is able to save forever those who approach God through him. If we're faithful to our calling, every sermon we preach is a Jesus sermon. Every Bible study we lead, a Jesus study. Every counseling session in which we engage is Jesus counseling. Every hymn we sing, a Jesus song. every prayer we pray a Jesus prayer. There's going to come a time in your life when you feel that you just can't write another sermon. Or a day when you'll be sitting next to someone in pain in the hospital or wasting away in a nursing home. Or a night when you find yourself feeling the agony of parents of a child who has just died, or the bitterness of one who has just been betrayed by an unfaithful spouse. Or there will be that person that you just don't know how to witness to. Or that conversation in which someone smarter than you makes an argument that you know is wrong, but you just can't think of how to answer them. Just speak Jesus to them. Because when you strip away all the clever learning, all the fancy rhetoric, the theological subtleties, and the philosophical falderal, all you really have to offer the world is Jesus. And the good news is, all you really have to offer the world is Jesus. Amen.